The champ is here!
It's fantasy football time on Patriots.com with the Fantasy Football Champs.
Fitzgerald leaps, and he's got it! It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald!
Dominate your league with the guys from FFChamps.com.
Green, throwing, back in the end zone, grab, touchdown!
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace are the Fantasy Football Champs.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. I am Bill Enright from FFChamps.com, along with Anthony Grace, a.k.a. the PPR Monster. Kevin Collins, a great producer, is keeping us on air, and we are live for the next 2 hours right here on Patriots.com radio. It is week 12 in the NFL, and we are taking your phone calls at 855-728-7500. Send us an email, webradio@patriots.com. Anthony, Kevin, fellas, did you guys enjoy week 11?
I enjoy any time there's football on my television, Bill. So, yes, loved it. Does not matter what's going on. Has some good games. Has some games we thought were going to be good that turned out to be, shall we say, not so great.
Kevin, big win for the passes.
Yeah, another weekend, another route. It is what it is. Old hat around here, Bill.
I'm sure it is. Well, we are going to recap all the action from Week 11 as we do always on our Tuesday show and help you with your Week 12 waiver wire pickups. There's a lot of news and notes to go over. Some surprising news with running backs. A couple of guys got cut. One major guy got banned. We'll go over to that. We'll go over that in just a little bit. We'll also go over the injuries from Week 11. And there was a lot of them. A lot of them to fantasy impact, fantasy relevant players, and of course there was another millionaire. Another millionaire. Another guy won $1 million playing fantasy football this week. I think they were brothers, and once again, they were Patriot fans.
God, that's crazy. I mean, can't believe it.
I believe when we had Mikey Million on a couple weeks ago, he was from New Hampshire. He was a Pats fan. Yep. And I was just told that the two guys that won in Week 11, the Millionaire Maker Contest at DraftKings, I believe they were brothers from Boston. So we're going to try to get those guys on the Thursday show. We'll go over their lineup. But I'll tell you who they had on their team. Jonas Gray with his 4 touchdowns and 200 yards. Absolutely incredible performance by that rookie.
Yep.
To think this guy was an undrafted free agent, was barely, I don't know, what was he, the fourth guy on the depth chart this season?
God, starting out fourth, maybe even the fifth. You know, you had your Vereen, your Ridley.
James White.
James White was the number
Brandon
three.
Bolden.
Yeah, Bolden. You had so many options in that backfield. So, yeah, Jonas Gray came out of nowhere virtually. I mean, talk about in the last couple of weeks, nothing crazy, but he blew the doors off of the fantasy world and the Indianapolis Colts this past Sunday night, that's for sure.
So the two brothers from Boston, Patriot fans, won $1 million playing fantasy football at DraftKings. They had 233 points, which is not a lot compared to the recent weeks. I think a couple weeks ago we had 280, 270, 250. These guys scored 233. Jonas Gray, by far the top performer this week, 47 fantasy points, 4 rushing touchdowns, and then 200 rushing yards. Incredible performance. So that's going to be our Tuesday topic of the day. Anthony introduced this segment last week, and with Jonas Gray's monster performance, our Tuesday topic of the day, we want you to email in, we want you to call in, let us know what you think. He had 4 touchdowns in one game. There's 6 games left, okay? Is he going to surpass 8 or more rushing touchdowns this season? He had 4 in one game, so he's already halfway there. Does he get 8 total for the rest of the 2014 season? Mm. Anthony, what do you think?
I want to say yes, just because he scored 4 yesterday, like you were saying. So I want to say yes, but the Patriots' schedule coming up the rest of the way, they have a bunch of tough run defenses. They don't have a defense softer than, you know, midway through the 15th best run defenses. Their softest matchup with the Green Bay Packers. So they have some tough run defenses coming up. Knowing Bill Belichick, all it takes is one fumble or something stupid out of Jonas Gray for him to get benched for a couple plays. but I think he will pull it off in the end. Five more games, four more touchdowns. I think he will do it. The Patriots are on a huge run, putting up points week after week the last couple weeks, last month actually, something like that. So I think he will do it, but I think it's going to be 8 or 9. It's not going to really be anything too crazy.
Kevin, what do you think? 4 touchdowns in one game. Does he finish with 8 or more for the rest of the season?
8 or more. So 4. What is there? 7 games left?
6 more games.
I'm going to go with less.
Yeah, see, I'm with you there. I think all of us are. Anthony, you said yes or no?
I said yes. I think it's going to be real close. It's going to be real tough, but this last week on Sunday night, Jonas Gray was on the field for 57 snaps compared to 20 for Shane Vereen. So the performance he put up, the snap count he's getting over Shane Vereen right now, I think he's got a great chance to do it. It's just a question if he can do it. Like I said, he's got some tough rush defenses coming up the rest of the way. So it's going to be close, but it's either going to be between 7 and 9 touchdowns. It's going to be right on that line, like you're saying.
So we gotta figure that. This is what I'm thinking. The Patriots' backfield is one of the biggest mysteries in fantasy football, because sometimes it could be Shane Vereen. Early in the season, it was Stephen Ridley, but it was never consistent. And I think this week with the Lions, I know a lot of people are going to be rushing out there on the waiver wire. I might as well just get this out there now. I don't think Jonas Gray is going to be in our top 30 for running backs this week.
Detroit Lions, yeah, that's a very tough matchup.
You can pick him up, but I'm not rushing to use him against the Lions, one of the best rush defenses in the NFL. They shut down Andre Ellington last week. And again, the Patriots always game plan for their specific opponent. I think it's going to be a lot of Edelman this week. I think it's going to be a lot of Gronk and maybe some downfield action to LaFell. It's not going to be the Jonas Gray show like it was against the Indianapolis Colts. That's what the Patriots probably do best. They attack the defense at their weakest spot. The Colts, terrible against the run. So they decided to hand the ball off to Jonas Gray 30-plus times. Result, 200 yards, 4 touchdowns. I'm saying he's not going to finish with 8 or more the rest of the year. Good player. Pick him up on your fantasy team, but I'm not going crazy about using him. He's certainly not going to be a running back 1 or running back 2 in week 12. Maybe a flex play if you're desperate.
Yeah, that's the best you can hope for him. Like you said, a lot of people are going to pick him up and just think they can plug him in their lineup this week because of what he did. And as much as fantasy football is about what happened in the past and trends and player trends, team trends, either way, that factors in, but you got to look ahead too. And like you said, the Detroit Lions this week, tough matchup. Didn't let much go in the way of the rushing game against them this week against the Arizona Cardinals. So it's going to be a tough matchup for Jonas Gray. But if he looks semi-decent, 70 to 80 yards and a touchdown this week, you know, that's good against the Detroit Lions defense this year.
So shout out to the Gomez brothers, who were the Millionaire Maker winners, big Patriot fans. They won $1 million in week 11 thanks to Jonas Gray's 47 points in DraftKings. Unbelievable performance. 4 touchdowns, 200 yards. But that is a Tuesday topic of thought. So let us know when you call in. Over, under, 8.5. 8.5 touchdowns for Jonas Gray. He already has 4. 6 games left. Can he get 4 more? That's going to be the Tuesday topic of thought. 855-728-7500 is the phone number. Webradio@patriots.com. We'll also get into our waiver wire picks in just a little bit. But Anthony, I want to go through some of the news that we had today because it was kind of crazy. Usually you don't see this in week 12, but 2 players were cut from their teams, and then we had an official ruling on the Adrian Peterson situation. I guess we can start off with the Vikings running back. The NFL decided to ban him for the rest of the 2014 season, and he will not be eligible to be reinstated until 2015. I think it's actually tax day, April 15th, 2015 is when Adrian Peterson can be reinstated. This was big news because we thought Peterson was going to come back in week 12. All reports indicated that he would be playing again for the Vikings this year. His domestic abuse, child abuse case was knocked down to a misdemeanor. So for the NFL to take such a harsh stance on what is essentially, by the courts, is just a misdemeanor, I'm very shocked at the NFL's decision to ban him for the rest of the year.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where they, if you're making an example of Ray Rice for doing something as horrible as he did, then you got to do the same thing with AP. I mean, it's virtually the same thing. It's even worse because it was a child as opposed to, now again, you can get into the debate, was it punishment, was it the way a parent, you got to debate that. Who knows? Everyone has their own opinion on it, but if you're making a huge example of Ray Rice and the domestic violence, then you got to do the same thing with AP. I mean, it sucks if you owned AP, drafted him first round this year. It sucks if you picked him up expecting him to come back for you. But it is what it is at this point. They got to make an example of him, so I can't disagree with what they're doing.
And then the other news for the running backs, how about this one? The Cleveland Browns, this actually might, you know, bring a smile to a lot of fantasy managers' face because it goes from a crowded backfield to just a two-man tandem. The Cleveland Browns cut Ben Tate. They signed him in the offseason to a 2-year deal. They drafted Terrence West. They drafted They signed Isaiah Crowell as an undrafted free agent. But the two rookies making a lot of noise, Ben Tate. See you later, buddy. Cut from the Browns.
Yeah, that guy we thought in the beginning of the year finally has a chance to shine, getting out of Aaron Foster's shadow down in Houston.
Yep.
Comes up, looked like he had the starting job all in his hands in the beginning of the season. Gets hurt a couple games. Like you said, Terrence West, Isaiah Crowell took care of it, and they were splitting carries the last couple of games. But, you know, bye-bye Ben Tate. Okay for people who own either Isaiah Crowell or Terrence West because it's going to make life a lot easier for those owners. And, you know, sorry to see Ben Tate go. Someone is going to pick him up and sign him, so we'll keep an eye and see where he goes.
Yeah, I sent out a tweet earlier about some running back needy teams, and I guess we might as well mention that. The Pittsburgh Steelers cut LeGarrette Blount.
Yep.
Patriot fans seem to love them some LeGarrette Blount. I'm not really sure why. I guess it has something to do with his four touchdowns last year in the playoffs. I don't think the Pats are going to go after Blount again. They might. But some of the running back needy teams, I kind of jotted down real quick. Indianapolis Colts, who we'll mention why they need a running back a little bit later. Minnesota Vikings, we just said Adrian Peterson's not coming back. New Orleans Saints, Pierre Thomas and Kyrie Robinson still banged up. The Miami Dolphins, Lamar Miller's limited in action. Damian Williams and Daniel Thomas haven't been doing much. And then Denver Broncos, we'll mention why they might be in need of a running back. So Ben Tate, LeGarrette Blount about to hit the open market probably in the next 24 hours. I think both of them get signed.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're both going somewhere too. Ben Tate obviously probably going to get scooped up a little bit quicker. But they'll both get signed by someone. Like you said, a bunch of teams out there that need running back help. Maybe a team like the Buffalo Bills, Fred Jackson, not 100% yet. And they got Bryce Brown, but he's playing all right. But they use someone a little bit more explosive. Maybe, and this is interesting, I don't know if it would happen, but maybe down in Dallas, someone like Ben Tate to back up DeMarco Murray. You never really saw much out of Lance Dunbar. Or obviously Joseph Randall. So those two guys, they might have a little bit of a better backup and someone like a Ben Tate or LeGarrette Blount down in Dallas just in case DeMarco Murray does go down.
So those are some of the running back needed teams that I think may go after Ben Tate or LeGarrette Blount. We'll see what happens. If you had to pick one, who would you take?
One of the running backs or one of the teams? I would take Ben Tate over LeGarrette Blount right now. I like him a little bit more, can do a little bit more, and hasn't walked out on his team yet this year, so I guess that's a plus in his corner.
Mike Tomlin, the Steelers head coach, was visibly frustrated, and that's what I like about Tomlin. He always shows his emotion. Visibly frustrated with Blount's actions. Left the field before the game was over. That's not, you know, you just don't do that.
Yeah, he should have been angry.
Le'Veon Bell was having a phenomenal performance on Monday night, over 200 yards, one touchdown. Why would they take him out to put in LeGarrette Blount? Bell was in the zone.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I think as if you're playing a true team game, you should be happy for your teammate seeing him do that. And, you know, if you're LeGarrette Blount, you think, hey, all right, I'm fresh for the next game. Didn't get much work today. Life goes on. Next game, maybe they'll use me a little bit more since they fed the ball to Le'Veon all night, basically. Crazy situation. It's something, you know, you rarely see happen. And the last time I really remember someone just walking out of the field, I think it was in that same stadium in Tennessee. Didn't Vince Young get real upset the one time when he got benched and just walk off the field in Tennessee? Yeah, so maybe it's that stadium. I have no idea. But sad, sad showing by LeGarrette Blount.
I believe the Steelers were also concerned within the organization that Blount was just a bad influence on second-year running back Le'Veon Bell. That's, you know.
You know, they got in a little bit of trouble earlier this year, we know, yep. So who knows whose fault it is. Could have been LeGarrette Blount. We don't know, but, yeah, you know, with an attitude like that, a team like the Pittsburgh Steelers, a winning franchise, a historic franchise, they're about winning, and they don't care. They're a team that's going to do whatever it takes to win. It does not matter who they cut, who they keep. They're not going to keep someone around if they can't contribute in a positive manner to that football team. And LeGarrette Blount obviously can't do it anymore. So good for Pittsburgh. I love teams that will do that. Just say, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you might be able to do for me right now. We're kicking you to the curb because we don't like what you're doing. And I love Pittsburgh for doing what they did.
One more news item, and then we'll get into a little bit of a Week 11 recap. So Adrian Peterson's banned for the year. The Browns cut Ben Tate. The Steelers cut LeGarrette Blount. One piece of good news, Josh Gordon officially reinstated into the NFL.
He's back, baby. Love it. If you got him on your bench, I think you might be safe. Put him in your starting lineup this week. He's got a very soft matchup. Had a couple games last year against NFC opponents. Four games last year, three of them with 65 or more yards, including 200-yard games, a couple of touchdowns, and six catches per game. So I think Josh Gordon coming back is going to give that Cleveland team a shot in the arm. I think he's going to make Brian Hoyer look a lot better, and he's Josh Gordon. Like you said, he's been practicing. He's been keeping up with his training, not coming off an injury, just coming off a suspension. Should jump back into that lineup and not have any hitches as far as getting going right away.
Now, they're playing against the Browns and Josh Gordon. They're playing against the Falcons, weak secondary. The Falcons, surprisingly, are the leaders of the NFC South right now at 4-6.
Oh,
the Saints lost at home for the second game in a row. And then the Falcons beat the Panthers. So right now Atlanta's sitting on top of the NFC South. Very interesting. 4-6.
Yeah, and that's one of those situations where anytime you see coming down the stretch a division in football that's close, you love that as a fantasy owner because you know, all right, well, you can't sit Peyton Manning. You can't sit Julio Jones if you're the Falcons because you need to win this division. So even though it's a crappy division and no one's over 500 and we might have another situation like we did a few years ago when Seattle got in the playoffs at under 500, it's positive for fantasy owners because everyone's going to be playing their hearts out until week 17.
I think, Anthony, on our Tuesday show, we're going to have an entire segment dedicated to rookies because once again, this rookie class, both running backs and wide receivers, absolutely went off in week 11. All right.
Another one.
We already mentioned Jonas Gray with the 200-yard game. How about Jeremy Hill and Alfred Blue, both rookie running backs, both considered the backups on their team. Mm-hmm. Arian Foster was out. Giovanni Bernard was out. Both of these rookie runners who, by the way, were teammates at LSU together,
yes, they
both had over 150 yards this weekend.
Unbelievable. Again, Jeremy Hill, last week a lot of people I know panicked when they saw what he did against the Bengals, but that whole team in Cincinnati just looked like crap that week.
Yeah.
You can't blame Jeremy Hill. But you take away that game, he's put up 152 yards and one touchdown per game, and the other two he's filled in for Gio Bernard. So Jeremy Hill is fine if he happens to start again. A guy you can't really take out of your lineup at this point. And same thing with Alfred Blue. Came in a weak team. He played in Cleveland this week, a weak team against the run. But, again, like you said, another 150-yard performance. And if Arian Foster stays down, goes down again, Alfred Blue's a guy that you can rely on to plug into your lineup, and I don't think you're going to have any hiccups.
And then on the other side of that, the wide receivers this weekend, the rookie wide receivers, just absolutely incredible. I mean, Mike Evans had 200 yards this week. He's been on fire. Kelvin Benjamin had another big game. Jordan Matthews had another big game. Davante Adams got into the end zone. Brandon Cooks, broken thumb, out 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah, the one rookie that didn't do everything positive this week. But like you said, all those other guys getting into the end zone, they all finish. Evans, Benjamin, and Matthews all finished in the top 10 among wide receivers this week, standard scoring leagues. And they're all on pace right now, those three guys, to go over 70 catches each, over 800 yards, and over 8 touchdowns for each of those guys. And since the year 2000, there's been one season where three rookie wide receivers finished with at least 48 catches, 700 yards, and 8 touchdowns, and that was 2004. And the only stud in that draft was Larry Fitzgerald. The other two guys were Lee Evans and Roy Williams. So,
Roy Williams from the Lions?
Roy Williams of the Detroit Lions when they went on that wide receiver with their first pick in like 16 straight years or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a couple of names that really fell off, but these rookie receivers, all three of them, Evans, Benjamin, and Matthews, and you said Brandon Cooks, another guy, Sammy Watkins we didn't even talk about, and he was the top wide receiver taken this year in the draft. So this draft class of wide receivers is going to be a fun group to watch the next couple seasons.
Even Odell Beckham had another big game.
Another guy I totally forgot about. And again, if he was playing a full season this year, he'd be on this list as well of potentially breaking those numbers. So I think the NFL's got a lot of good young wide receivers coming up, and it's going to be a fun time to watch. We always complain that you got a lot of running back troubles this year, and maybe from here on out the running backs aren't going to be the position that teams focus on in the draft. More of a quarterback and wide receiver type league is becoming. That's okay. Yeah, we're transitioning to fantasy football from you had to have, 5-6 years ago, you had to have two solid running backs to have a chance to win.
Right.
And nowadays it's transitioning to if you have two great wide receivers, you got a chance to win nowadays, especially with a lot more PPR leagues popping up.
All right, so again, the phone number is 855-728-7500. Webradio@patriots.com is our email. Just in case you're not listening to the show live, we always like to remind you guys, you can hit us up on Twitter for all of your Week 12 fantasy football advice, at FFChamps, at the PPR Monster. I'm at Bill Enright. It's always fun interacting with people on Twitter, especially on game day. I mean, it seems like people save their questions for game day, which is always a little risky because, you don't want to wait until, like, the last minute. You know, I don't want to get a tweet. If the game starts at 1 o'clock, I don't want to get a tweet at 12:55 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. But at the same time, it's also very smart because you do want to wait for the actives and inactives to come out. That's why we always try to avoid answering start-sit questions on Tuesday because so much still has to happen with the injury report and the practice report. And with all of the injuries this past weekend, it's going to be tough to answer the start and sit questions on a Tuesday. Thursday, we a little more clarity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you have to wait till a Thursday. I mean, you can have your idea who you think's going to play, who you think's going to not, things like that, but for 100% accuracy, you got to wait till right up to game time. And a lot of these injuries nowadays, I don't know if guys are stronger, faster, working out more supplements. I don't know what's going on, but a lot of these guys, whereas a few years ago would have been out for a couple games, they might be able to play the following week without practicing all week. So, again, like you said, Bill, you have to watch the injuries very closely now because guys are coming back a lot faster, and we can't answer questions today for next Sunday. It's almost a full week away.
All right, well, let's get into the injury report from Week 11. We'll recap all the major fantasy impact players that went down. We'll start off with the quarterback position. I'm not sure if you saw any of the highlights from the San Diego Chargers-Oakland Raiders game, but Phillip Rivers was visibly in pain, and they're calling it a rib injury, or at least we think it's a rib injury. The team was pretty much noncommittal, saying that Rivers is fine, but, I mean, he was definitely struggling out there.
Yeah, you could tell he was not feeling like himself during that game. So, again, one of these things where we don't think he's going to miss any time, should be good to go. Team says he's going to be okay. And a guy like Phillip Rivers, you know, he plays as hard as he can. A couple years ago in New England when they were trying to get to the Super Bowl, LT and him. Yeah, they both got hurt. And LT went out, and I'll never forget people giving LT a bunch of crap and saying, oh, Phillip Rivers stayed in and this, that, and the other thing. So Phillip Rivers is a tough guy. If he can get through a leg injury and play an entire playoff game, I think he'll be all right with a little bit of rib injury. Throwing a flak jacket, he's not a runner, so he's not going to take as many hits as some of these running quarterbacks.
All right, now keep in mind, the Chargers do play the Rams this weekend. And they just shut down Peyton Manning. They gave Peyton Manning a reason to retire after hitting him so much. So we'll see about that matchup as we get into later in the week. We'll see Rivers' status, and we'll update you on our Thursday show. Running backs, heading into Week 11, we were excited to get three running backs that have been out for the last previous 6 weeks. We got them back in action in Week 11, and two of the three that we got back in action ended up getting hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
Monte Ball of the Denver Broncos missed about 5 games with a groin injury. He left the game with a groin injury. Ryan Matthews sprained his MCL in September. He was seen with a limping around the locker room after the game. And then the only good point here is Rashad Jennings of the New York Giants sprained MCL back for the first time. no soreness, no setbacks, no aggravation of that injury. So Monte Ball is expected to be out 2 to 3 weeks. Ryan Matthews is going to be a question mark for week 12, but Rashad Jennings seems to be A-okay as the Giants play the Cowboys on Sunday night.
Yeah, Rashad Jennings, Tom Coughlin came out and said they were going to use him in a limited role, you know, wanted to work him back in slowly. Well, he was on the field for all but 11 snaps in Sunday's game. Got 22 touches, 18 rushes for 59 yards, 4 catches for a handful of yards. Didn't get in the end zone, but again, one of those things, San Francisco, a decent rushing defense, so wasn't expecting things like that. But Rashad Jennings is going to be fine the rest of the way. Knock on wood, as long as nothing else happens to him, but he's going to get, you know, he's going to get the majority and the bulk of the snaps the rest of the way should he remain healthy.
Here's a tough break for anyone that was relying on Ahmad Bradshaw. He pretty much became a running back one this year in a PPR format.
Yeah.
One of the most explosive offenses in the league. Andrew Luck was certainly looking at him near the goal line. He fractured his fibula. He's not going to be in action for the rest of the regular season. I doubt he even makes an appearance for the Colts in the playoffs. That really leaves Trent Richardson in the backfield and Dan Haran, Boom Haran from Ohio State, from the Ohio State University. But Ahmad Bradshaw, that's a really big blow for anyone that is looking to make the playoffs, already in the playoffs, and was relying on Bradshaw as their running back one, maybe a running back two, because for the most part, he was either drafted real late or was a pickup this year.
Yeah, if you had Ahmad Bradshaw as a running back two type guy or throwing him in the flex week in and week out, you lost a huge piece of your team. Obviously, if you're not relying on him as your top dog at running back, you have a few more options to fix yourself up. But that's going to hurt a lot of people in the fantasy playoffs. Like you said, if you're in right now, you got a couple weeks to fix yourself and get something happening. If your league, like we talked about these past couple shows, has a later trade deadline, maybe try to work something out to get yourself a running back if you can. But, yeah, it's going to be hard if you're an Ahmad Bradshaw owner going forward.
All right, let's move over to the wide receiver position. The major one here is Emmanuel Sanders. He got knocked out.
That was,
I guess, probably one of the biggest hits of the year.
That was unbelievable. And it's tough. I know a lot of people just watching football hate the rep, always yelling at him, giving him crap. But when you see that play full speed, it looks like it's a dirty hit. But when they slow it down, shoulder to shoulder, he was just diving and, you know, things happen. But that full speed, that is a vicious-looking hit.
Yeah. So he was knocked out of the game with a concussion, questionable for this week. I don't know if he's going to play against the Dolphins this weekend. And that's a big blow to a lot of people because Sanders was playing like a wide receiver one, even though he's the Broncos' number two wide receiver on that team behind Demaryius Thomas. Brandon Cooks out 2 to 3 weeks. We mentioned it earlier with a broken thumb.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Jennings injured for the Vikings. Jarius Wright injured for the Vikings. That's why we saw so much of Charles Johnson in action for Minnesota. Moving over to tight ends, three impact fantasy guys. Julius Thomas, questionable with an ankle injury. Jordan Reed injures his other hamstring for the Washington Redskins. And then Dwayne Allen, who, if you remember, I said I traded for him last week.
Yeah.
Completely MIA Sunday night. I'm like, what the heck's going on with Dwayne Allen? I sent out a tweet, and then next thing I know, I see him getting carted off the field.
Yeah, not looking good for Dwayne Allen either. Indy lost two big pieces on Sunday night for their chance to run it and make a playoff run and a Super Bowl push.
Indy and the Broncos.
Yeah, yeah. I obviously with the Broncos, Sanders and Julius Thomas are both going to be back. If they don't play this week, probably the following week. They said Julius Thomas, it wasn't a high ankle sprain, so they're a lot more positive about that. So I think, you know, even if he misses a week, you're going to see him and Sanders come back probably in 2 weeks, if not one playing this week. But Bradshaw, you know, he's out for the year. Dwayne Allen carted off. So if you're on a cart, that's never a good sign. If he misses the rest of the year, it's two big pieces for the Indianapolis Colts offense that is going to slow them down a little bit.
How about this for some bad luck? I just want to tell a quick personal story. A friend of mine in my league that I'm the commissioner is, I think, in sixth place. He's fighting for the playoffs. Had Antonio Brown. And Antonio Brown's on a bye next week. He wanted to trade away Antonio Brown, pretty much the best receiver in the league right now, in order to get he's in a win mode. He has to win now, otherwise he's not gonna make the playoffs. Since Antonio Brown was on a bye next week, he wanted to trade Brown away. He got T.Y. Hilton back and Brandon Cooks, both of them shut down this past weekend. T.Y. had not a good game. Brandon Cooks out 2 to 3 weeks. And then, to top it off, then he made a trade. I forget what it was. It was like, I don't know. He traded away Isaiah Crowell, and then Ben Tate gets cut today. Man. So he made two trades this weekend. Really, really bad luck for him.
Yeah, that's the thing about trading. I know a lot of guys, you have to make moves sometimes, but when you make a move and something like that happens to you, it's almost just like, really, that's the way the season's going for me. So sad to see, but, you know, I guess that benefits some other people. So you win some, you lose some, depending on what position you're in.
So we'll go over our so with all these injuries, we're going to have a lot of people to go over on the waiver wire report. As always,
yeah.
You can email us your Week 12 waiver wire questions, webradio@patriots.com. And also, don't forget the Tuesday topic of thought. Over-under touchdowns, 8.5 for Jonas Gray this year. And, of course, the phone number here is 855-728-7500. We got Nick in Boston in the 12-team standard league. Nick, what's going on, man? Over-under 8.5 touchdowns for Jonas Gray the rest of the season.
Well, guys, I'm a huge Patriots fan, so seeing that performance two nights ago, it was awesome. It was great to see us, you know, deviating a little bit from our normal pass attack and proving that we can also just stuff people down with a great running game. So that was good to see. But if I take a look at the rest of the schedule, you know, there are some tough run defenses up ahead for us, not the least of which is this coming Sunday against the Lions. So I'm going to have to go under with Gray. Even though, you know, he looks to be really promising, I think, you know, Vereen only getting one running play on Sunday is not going to be the norm moving forward, I don't think, anyway. Mm. If I know Belichick, he likes to mix things up. So, yeah, I'm going to go under.
All right, so great analysis there from Nick in Boston. Nick, what's your question today?
So my question is, that being said, should I drop Brandon Cooks for Gray if I'm trying to make a playoff run here? I have so many wide receivers in this league that I'm in, and, you know, Cooks being injured for 2 to 3 weeks doesn't help me in this playoff push, and Gray may fill in a critical gap now that, you know, this is the same league where initially, you know, I lost Adrian Peterson. Now I'm pretty sure I've lost, I mean, I don't know where Ben Tate's going to end up, but they just cut him too. So my running backs at this point are Trent Richardson and Terrence West. So I need someone. So should I drop Cooks and pick up Gray, basically?
Yeah, I mean, as long as your league doesn't go to week 17, I think Cooks is going to be out until at least, what, week 15, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
So
yeah, so we do not have that. No, that and whatever league has a playoff system that includes week 17 is stupid.
It's ridiculous. We
yeah,
say that
great.
All the time.
Yep.
We say that
yeah.
all the time, Nick. It's the dumbest thing, especially with so many teams, I think this year, are going to be resting their starters come week 17. It's just
yeah,
I don't understand
it. So many studs will be rested. I mean,
yep.
you know, assuming Detroit and Green Bay and New England and Denver keep going about their ways, so many stud wide receivers will be rested week 17.
Yep.
Makes no sense. But speaking of stud wide receivers, though, I was so glad to see Mike Evans go off on Sunday, man. I picked him over Kelvin Benjamin in the fifth round of my draft in one of these leagues. It's a keeper league, and he looks like a solid rookie for me to build a good wide receiver core on top of next year. So I'm really happy to see that performance by him. He's on fire.
7 catches, 209 yards, and 2 touchdowns for Mike Evans. He kind of reminds me of what Alshon Jeffrey and Josh Gordon were doing last year. Now, obviously, they were in their second years when they were getting those 200-yard games. Evans just a rookie, but the kid's a freak. And
yeah.
everyone kind of knocked the Bucs after Sammy Watkins was off the board, and Mike Evans was the next wide receiver taken in this past year's draft. And we saw a lot of wide receivers go in the first round this year. Benjamin, Evans, Odell Beckham, Calvin Benjamin, Brandon Cooks. And then in the later rounds, you know, guys like Jordan Matthews, John Brown. So this year, the wide receivers, the rookie class, we say it every week, very, very special group.
They are insane. And it doesn't matter who's throwing to them either because, I mean, you know, some of these wide receivers are on teams that have quarterbacks that are either their head's not in the right place, where I think that's pretty much what's going on with Cam Newton, or they're just not very accurate, as is the case sometimes with McCown. So they're succeeding despite that, which is really great to see. I mean, Yeah, I agree with you guys. The rookie class has been phenomenal.
All right, Nick, thanks for your thoughts. Best of luck to you, unless you had another question for us.
No, I think I'm all set. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy, take it easy. Anthony, I mean, the rookie receivers this year, I think they're going to be – they're going to win a lot of people championships.
Yeah, they're definitely going to. There's no doubt about that in my mind. I like you said, Mike Evans, I mean, obviously if you pick Kelvin Benjamin, as Nick was saying, in a keeper league, either way, you're not losing. I mean, that's a win either way. But Mike Evans, 124 or more receiving yards in each of the last 3 weeks, 5 touchdowns combined over the last 3 weeks. This guy is having a great streak right now. So I love what I'm seeing. And I heard a lot of debate beginning of the season after the draft as to down in Texas A&M, did Manziel make Evans or did Evans make Manziel? So
yeah,
what we're seeing, I know we haven't seen Johnny Manziel, but looks like Mike Evans might have made Johnny Manziel look a lot better and made him some extra money in that draft selection.
All right, so we're going to get to our waiver wire report in the next segment. I do want to take a quick break. More of your emails, more of your telephone calls. Week 12 waiver wire report, that's all coming up next right here on the Patriots.com radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. 3 Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Follow the Patriots like never before with the official Patriots mobile apps for iPhone, Android, and iPad. Get instant access to all the latest news, stats, and analysis, plus live Patriots Game Center. Search New England Patriots in your device's app marketplace to get the latest Patriots news, audio, and video in the palm of your hand. Download the official Patriots mobile apps today and stay connected. Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit Patriots.com/the list to join today. Free agents, pickups, or waiver wire claims.
Man, I'm glad I called that guy.
The names may be different in your league, but the players are the same. The Fantasy Football Champs are here with the roster moves you should make this week.
All right, welcome back to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings. I'm working on getting the two Patriot fans, the brothers that won the Millionaire Maker Contest, I'm working on getting them as a guest for our Thursday show. Always interesting, always fun to talk about fantasy football with people that won $1 million doing it, right, Ant?
I can't see why it wouldn't be interesting. I love hearing that stuff. It's crazy, man. I want to know why they picked Jonas Gray. That is my biggest question right now.
Well, yeah, they're Patriot fans, you know. They had some inside info, I guess.
I guess sometimes fandom does come in handy when you're playing daily fantasy football.
We'll tell you how to win $1 million with some strategy and advice on Thursday. But don't forget, you can always get a free membership to FF Champs and in an entry into the DraftKings Millionaire Maker Contest for Week 12 by going to ffchamps.com/million. And if you're in a league where your playoffs are just about to begin, I'll tell you what. I'm not trying to toot my own horn here, but I'll do it a little bit. Honk, honk, beep, beep. Because the FF Champs members, we simply... There you go. Our members win their leagues. They get into the playoffs and they win. I think the best stuff that we do, it's in the draft, it's during the season on the waiver wire, and then it's in the fantasy playoffs. You're going to start your guys no matter what I say. Our rankings are top-notch, but at the end of the day, it's still your call. So a lot of people just go with, you know, the guys that they want to start, which is fine with me. We still take your start and sit questions. We still answer them. We still do our rankings every week. But we hit home. We hit 99-yard touchdowns when it comes to the fantasy playoffs. So if you want a free membership, you go to ffchamps.com. We are starting the waiver wire report for week 12, but I don't want to keep Todd in Jacksonville on hold for so long here. So 855-728-7500 is the number, and Todd in Jacksonville is in a 10-team PPR league. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bill. Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, doing Todd? Right, how you doing, man?
All right. I'm in a little panic mode right now. I've dropped 3 in a row. And I have Bradshaw, Cooks, and Ball on my team. So I'm looking to, obviously, I'm going to be dropping Bradshaw. And I'm thinking of even dropping Ball at this point. I'm looking to see who should I pick up. Weston, Crowell are both out there.
Okay.
Gray, Charles Sims, and I'm maybe even just a kind of flyer on Blount. Not sure. I mean, like you said, there's some needy running back teams out there. Not too excited about that, but...
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near LeGarrette Blount or Benteen until they get picked up. That's for starters, especially when you have guys that are playing this weekend with very favorable matchups. The Cleveland Browns are playing Atlanta Falcons, one of the worst run defenses in the league. I pick up either one. Either one, Crowell or Terrence West, doesn't matter who.
All right. And pick up Gray then too?
If you're making two roster spots, if you're making room for two players, absolutely.
Yeah, because I'm going to be dropping Ball and obviously Bradshaw.
And Bradshaw, yeah. I'd go for both of them.
All right.
Jonas Gray. And, but listen, don't expect 100 yards and a touchdown from Jonas Gray this week.
Oh, no, not at all. But on your question, I think he actually gets over that. And the only the only reason why I say that is look at the way that Pats use Ridley. And he's kind of that guy, you know, they get down to the red zone within the 5 yard line, they feed him the ball, and, you know, as like a goal line back, too. He's, you know, a big dude that's, you know, kind of built low to the ground and get right in there. It's like he did this last weekend.
That's
so
true.
Definitely doing that.
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, Stephen Ridley had, how many touchdowns did he have in 2013? Seven. He only had seven. That was 14 games.
Right. Yeah, as long as he doesn't fumble, I think he'll be all right.
Yeah, that's another good point. We know that'll land any player on the Patriots in the doghouse real quick.
Uh-huh. Right.
All right, Todd, best of luck to you on the waiver wire. Appreciate the phone call. Anthony, do you have a preference on the Cleveland Browns running backs, Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell? Which one do you like more?
Yeah, you know what? That's a tough call. I think they're both going to get carries now. Crowell was their starter this past week, so I don't know. Again, they've been switching starters in and out, you know, the last cup basically all season. They haven't had really a consistent starter for a majority of the season yet. In the last 3 weeks, Terrence West has been on the field for 83 snaps, Crowell for 67. So Terrence West has seen a little bit more work. Not much, though. It's real close, and I think Isaiah Crowell is going to get the goal line work and vulture those touchdowns, so... Between the two, I like Crowell a little better based on the fact that he's probably going to get a few more touchdowns, but I don't think Terrence West is a bad pickup either. He's going to get his yardage. He's going to get some catches out of the backfield, so he's going to put up points for people as well.
All right, so now let's jump into our official waiver wire report. We'll get into your emails and your calls in just a little bit, but I do want to dive in here, Anthony, because I think for the quarterback position, for the most part, people should be okay right now.
Mm-hmm.
There really aren't a lot of injuries to quarterbacks. Phillip Rivers is really the only one. Tony Romo's coming off a bye. Mike Vick's coming back from a bye. I think he's a quarterback too for a lot of people. But, you know, Drew Stanton, Sean Hill, Josh McCown, all three of those guys had good games. And Ryan Mallett looked really good against the Browns this weekend.
Yeah, man, how about it? For a rookie quarterback going up into Cleveland, pulling a win from a first-place team, throwing a touchdown to J.J. Watt to open up the scoring up there.
I mean, Mal's not really a rookie.
He's not a rookie in the sense of he didn't get drafted this year, but that was his first professional start. So, look at Aaron Rodgers. He sat for 3 years, and he's just a monster now. I'm not saying Ryan Mallett is going to become Aaron Rodgers, but, again, I think we got to give him credit. The fact that he got to sit on the sidelines, learn from Belichick and Tom Brady for, 2-3 seasons, and at Bill O'Brien, he was with Bill O'Brien up in New England, too, for that season or two. So he does have a frame of reference. He knows the offense. Bill O'Brien brought a similar offense down to Houston as they have in New England. So I think that he's going to be fine going forward.
All right. So the quarterbacks, I think for the most part, people are set. But if not, again, Drew Stanton, Sean Hill, even Ryan Mallett, all three of those quarterbacks, Josh McCown from the Bucs, have a good matchup this weekend. It really would have to take, I think in order to start one of those guys, it would really have to take an injury to someone in the top 10.
Yeah, it really would. The Rams quarterback situation scares me. They're flip-flopping back and forth. Hill, Austin Davis. If Hill has a down game next week, who knows if Austin Davis goes back in there. Hoyer, I like him. He's consistent, but he just doesn't put up the points in the fantasy world. Real life, he's a good quarterback. He keeps his team in every single game virtually.
Yep.
Rarely gets blown out, so I like Hoyer, you know, in the real world, fantasy world. Like I said, there's worse options, I guess, but if you're looking for a big game, don't expect Brian Hoyer to be that guy. But, you know, on our list out of these couple guys, I think Ryan Mallett might be the best pickup. Like we said, rookie, but not a rookie, knows the offense, knows the coach. looked good on the road, so got some weapons. If Aaron Foster comes back, even though Alfred Blue looked good, defenses are going to give Aaron Foster a little more respect than Alfred Blue. So I think he's in a pretty decent situation down there in Houston right now.
Keep in mind, Josh Gordon is coming back for the Browns, so that should help Brian Hoyer even more.
That's not going to hurt him, that's for sure.
All right, let's move over to running backs. You have Ahmad Bradshaw. Maybe you were relying on Monte Ball making a comeback. Ryan Matthews a little bit banged up. Ben Tate caught. Adrian Peterson, maybe you were hoping he was coming back. So I think a lot of people out there are always looking for running backs to help them solidify or make a run for the fantasy postseason. We'll start off with the Patriots guy. We've been talking about him throughout the entire show. You can't ignore a guy that had 200 yards and four touchdowns. Jonas Gray, the rookie out of Notre Dame. Just temper your expectations a little bit. That's a monster game. He played well. It's a career day. I'm under the impression, or I'm under the train of thought that he's not going to get 8.5 touchdowns the rest of the year. He won't finish with eight or more touchdowns. So he's a good pickup. He's certainly going to get the opportunity, but a game like that, no one should expect that again.
Yeah, you can't pick up Jonas Gray and hope he becomes, you know, that guy, a Le'Veon Bell type who has the potential to get 200 yards every game. He's not going to be that guy. He's going to get his touches. He's going to be the goal line back in New England too, so that's a positive sign.
Yep.
But, you know, out of most of the guys on your waiver wire, he is probably the least owned out of most of these running backs, and he should probably be the first pickup unless, you know, you have an Isaiah Crowell potentially or someone like that. But for the most part, like you said, slim pickings in the running backs on the waiver wire this year. Slim pickings when you're drafting running backs, if we're going to be honest. But now, week 12 coming up, the running backs are pretty much decimated off your waiver wire more than likely. So if Jonas Gray is sitting around, I think he's got to be the first pickup off the waiver wire this week.
All right, let's move over to the next running back up on our list. It's the Cleveland Browns guys. We had the last caller said both Terrence West, both Isaiah Crowell were available. That's probably a 10-team league. Eight-team league, certainly they're available. 10-team league, likely available. If you're in a 12-team league, it'll be hard to find a Terrence West or Isaiah Crowell on the bench, but it could happen. And with Ben Tate getting cut, both of those running backs, we like them a lot going forward.
We do. And, you know, looking down this list of running backs we like, Jonas Gray, you got Alfred Blue, you got Bryce Brown, Charles Sims, the Browns guys we mentioned. You know, in a 12-team league, I play in a 12-team league, every single one of those guys is already gone, and they've been gone for a couple weeks. So, like we said, it's going to be tough to find one of these guys, but if you're lucky enough, there's a gem out there. Maybe if you're trying to make a trade for a bigger name and you just say, you know, throw me Alfred Blue or throw me Isaiah Crowell. Again, if you can get on someone who's not as up to date in the NFL world than the news world, you might be able to pull the wool over someone's eyes, which could help. But, a lot of these guys are going to help you down the stretch, but they're going to be hard to come by.
Next up on the waiver wire for the running back position, how about Bryce Brown? If you're in a PPR league, Bryce Brown is certainly getting it done for the Buffalo Bills. I think back-to-back games of six catches or more.
Yeah, Bryce Brown looking good. Yes, like I said, especially a PPR league, Bryce Brown should be owned by someone in your league. And if he's not, this is a guy you need to go pick up because he is going to be the number two guy behind Fred Jackson the rest of the year. Fred Jackson catches the ball in the backfield, we know that, but they're looking at Bryce Brown as more of the C.J. Spiller type, quick, shifty, catching balls out of the backfield more so than Fred Jackson. So PPR league, definitely go out there and snatch up Bryce Brown if he's sitting on your waiver wire.
Latavius Murray's been getting some action for the Oakland Raiders. Anthony, you mentioned Charles Sims for the Bucks. I think of all the three Tampa Bay running backs, Doug Martin, Bobby Rainey, it certainly seems like Charles Sims is the one that should be owned in all formats going forward.
Yeah, Charles Sims, again, same thing, more of a pass-catching back, so especially in a PPR league, but you can't expect much out of your Buccaneers running backs, either Charles Sims or Bobby Rainey. Yeah, so if you have Bobby Rainey on your team, I'm not dropping him. He's a guy that I'd rather have him on my bench than some other people out there. You never know what could come of these guys, but unless you're in a dire, dire situation, you're not using Tampa Bay running backs.
How about Roy Helu if you're in a PPR league for the Washington Redskins? We know Alfred Morris doesn't catch the ball a whole lot. Helu has certainly been getting a lot of targets in that passing game.
Roy Helou every year. He's a guy that rarely is owned, almost always on the waiver wire, but every time you look at it after a week goes by, especially in a PPR league, it seems like he has double-digit points. So, again, a sneaky play if you need someone to cover for you, if you're in a banged-up situation, you just lost some of your running backs, like an Ahmad Bradshaw. He could be a sneaky guy to throw in there maybe for a week or two if he's got some soft matchups. But, again, another guy you can't rely on 100%, maybe a sneaky flex play here and there.
And then someone I want to bring up because, for whatever reason, he sticks out in my mind from the preseason. Boom Heron from the Dan Heron from the Indianapolis Colts. I call him Boom because that's what everyone called him in college.
Boom.
From the Indianapolis Colts, Bradshaw's done.
Yep.
All right, he's not coming back this season. And Trent Richardson is probably the least exciting running back in the league that has a starting job all to himself. So that's why when an opportunity, you know, arises like this for a relatively unknown player, it's someone we want to keep an eye on.
You have to keep an eye on him because, like we said, no Ahmad Bradshaw means that Colts backfield is going to be suspect with Trent Richardson. Trent Richardson's not the guy we saw in his rookie year. He's not going to be that guy again, it doesn't look like. The Colts are a great offense, and you think with Andrew Luck and their receivers and their tight ends, before Dwayne Allen got hurt, obviously, you think Trent Richardson would be able to get going, but he just can't. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Dan Boom Heron get a bunch of touches, get a fair amount of touches these next couple weeks, and if he took over that number one spot from Trent Richardson, it would not shock me in the least.
All right, I want to move over to the wide receiver position. A couple rookies that we've mentioned for the last couple of weeks now. Jordan Matthews certainly has the most chemistry with his quarterback, Mark Sanchez, back-to-back weeks with a touchdown. John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals didn't really have a big game like he had in the previous couple of weeks, relatively quiet, but he's someone to keep an eye on. Jarvis Landry for the Miami Dolphins taking over that number two role over Brian Hartline. But then two guys I want to mention, one's coming off a bye, and the other one's a veteran that's been bouncing around. Kenny Britt looked really good against the Denver Broncos. He's a big play guy, and with Brian Quick out, the Rams don't really have many options to throw to.
Nah, and he seemed to have a nice connection with Sean Hill there. Deep touchdown pass. Not a lot of catches, only four catches, but he did put up 128 yards. He did score that long touchdown. So, if it's same thing, Mark Sanchez, Jordan Matthews connection, maybe we see a Sean Hill, Kenny Britt connection in St. Louis, and maybe he's someone that can help you get into playoffs and maybe win a championship down the stretch as a flex player.
The next player I want to mention is Cecil Shorts from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Our boy Allen Robinson's out for the year. Mm-hmm. Cecil Shorts certainly good in the PPR format. He's going to get a lot of targets with the Jaguars playing in a lot of garbage time.
Yeah, again, Jaguars, they're going to be losing games. They're going to be needing to throw the ball around to have a chance to catch up or what have you. So Cecil Shorts is going to be the guy to catch a lot of passes. I know it was two years ago he had double digits in virtually every game he played in 2012. Slowed down a little bit last year, but again, with what Allen Robinson was doing with Blake Bortles, Cecil Shorts is going to become that guy. So to close out the season, I wouldn't be shocked, again, to see someone like Cecil Shorts put up double digits in a majority of the rest of these games.
And the last wide receiver I want to bring up is Kenny Stills from the New Orleans Saints. Brandon Cooks out 2 to 3 weeks. We know it's Jimmy Graham. We know it's Marquise Colston. But there's going to be another wide receiver to step up for the Saints, and I think it's going to be a guy like Kenny Stills.
It's going to have to be Kenny Stills. This is why you brought him in couple years ago, expecting big things out of him this year. So obviously with Brandon Cooks being drafted, you know Kenny Stills got put back as that third, fourth option down in New Orleans, but he's going to be, outside of Jimmy Graham, he's going to be the first look probably in the passing game for Drew Brees now. So he's going to have to do something, but he's looking semi-good this year. Over 50 yards in three of the last five games, had a 100-yarder in there, a couple touchdowns over the last five games.
Yep.
So I think Kenny Stills is a great pickup, a sneaky pickup potentially. I know that New Orleans offense isn't what we're used to seeing. They're not putting up the same amount of points. Drew Brees is going to throw for 5,000 yards more than likely. But they're going to be all right. Kenny Stills, they're still going to put up some points. And Kenny Stills, like I said, behind Jimmy Graham is going to be the next guy in the pecking order.
All right, let's move over to the tight end position where Colby Fleener had the best game of his career against the Patriots this past week in 144 yards. And, of course, I traded for Dwayne Allen last week when I should have just picked up Colby Fleener. Had a monster game. Oh, driving me crazy. It's just really my luck this year in that league. Fleener had a monster game. I think with Dwayne Allen, I think he's not going to play this week, even though the Colts are calling him day-to-day. But you want Fleener on your squad because the tight end position is very erratic this season. The Jaguars activated Mercedes Lewis from the short-term IR. And then with the Broncos having some question marks about Julius Thomas, you might want to keep an eye on Jacob Tammy for Denver.
Jacob Tammy, yeah. He went in there, obviously didn't look 100% comfortable, I guess is the best way to put it, in that offense. Looked like he ran a couple routes a little bit different than what Peyton was looking for him to do. But play with Peyton in Indianapolis, so they do have a little bit of history. I think if Julius Thomas does miss some time, Jacob Tammy and Peyton Manning are going to be on the same page this week and moving forward. So whether it's Emmanuel Sanders or Julius Thomas for the Broncos, one of those guys being out, Jacob Tammy kind of slides in there as the next guy, even with a wide receiver being down.
All right, so that wraps up our Week 12 waiver wire report. We're going to take your waiver wire questions next. So light up those phone lines, 855-728-7500. Hit us up on email, webradio@patriots.com, because your questions for Week 12 waiver wire, that's all coming up next right here on the Fantasy Football Champs Patriots.com radio.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today. Anthony Grace and Bill Enright are the Fantasy Football Champs.
All right, welcome back. Week 12 in the NFL. You have a waiver wire question. Now's the time to get it in. 855-728-7500. You can also email us, webradio@patriots.com. Hit us up on Twitter, @FFChamps, @ThePPRMonster, @BillEnright. A lot of ways that you can get in touch with us, especially if you're listening to the show via the Patriot mobile app, maybe on iTunes, maybe on Patriots.com. We're always answering questions on Twitter, no matter if you're listening live or on demand. So that's always a good thing to keep in mind.
We're always on Twitter, baby. Always on Twitter. Except at 12:55 on a Sunday. Then we're not, maybe. But, yeah, outside of that, Monday through Sunday to 12:30, get at us. We like getting the questions. We like communicating. We like getting out there with the people and helping you win a championship. That's why we're here.
All right, emails were flying in early. Kevin, what did you send over the first email today at, like, noon?
Yeah.
It was like 4 hours before we were on air.
I wanted to make sure I got them over to you guys and they weren't getting erased.
Webradio@patriots.com is how you email us. Kevin sent one over at like 4 hours before we were on air today, and it comes from James in the UK, so across the pond there over in England. He says, "Hey, guys, had a pretty good week in fantasy football. Won four of my five leagues. That's great. He was beaten by 0.02 points. That sucks."
Yeah. Yeah, I was talking to James on Twitter a little bit today, actually, about that situation, and I was like, you know what? Losing by 1 point makes me feel horrible, but I hate playing in leagues with the decimal points, because if I lose by 0.02, you're going to talk me off the roof, because that is a tough way to lose a fantasy game.
Now, he seems to have Jordan Reed in all three or four of his leagues here, and pretty much he has the same options for each league in terms of who to pick up. Talking about guys like Colby Fleener, Owen Daniels, Travis Kelce, Delanie Walker, who's still a little bit banged up from that concussion. Who would you go after if you're James with Jordan Reed problems?
Yeah, I'm okay dumping Jordan Reed at this point, obviously. Too many injuries, not enough consistency out of him. So, yeah, I think Travis Kelce's still going to be my number one waiver pickup as far as tight ends go. I would go, basically looking at the options he has, I would go Kelce, Clay. If we know Dwayne Allen's out, I'd probably top it with Colby Fleener in any league he's available, but, Travis Kelce or Charles Clay be the two pickups I like. Larry Donnell's out there. He's had some good games, but he's, again, not consistent enough, for my liking at this point, especially coming down the stretch if you need to make the playoffs.
What about Niles Paul, who, filled in nicely while Jordan Reed was out earlier in the season, and then, I guess kind of a lot of people forgot about him now that Jordan Reed came back, but I think Niles Paul is still a decent option.
Yeah, he fell off the map after, like you said, after Jordan Reed came back. Nobody's given Niles Paul any credit, but we saw what he did before. Now, he didn't do any of that with RG3. So that's another interesting situation. True. I want to see what their connection is like. I have no problem picking him up, but I think it's a little too late in the season to really think, all right, let's see what this guy has. At least you know with Charles Clay and Kobe Fleener and Travis Kelce and Larry Donnell, you know what you're going to get for the most part out of those guys. So I'm looking for more consistency than I am upside at this point in the season.
Next up is Leon, who asks, should I drop Minnesota defense and pick up Brian Hoyer, Heath Miller, or Isaiah Crowell? Now, Heath Miller's on a bye this week. He already has Antonio Gates, Owen Daniels, so that's not necessary.
Right.
He's worried about Matthew Stafford against the Patriots. And Isaiah Crowell, he doesn't think he'll get him because he's number three on the waivers. So does Brian Hoyer tickle your fancy this weekend over Matthew Stafford?
You can't do that. I know the Patriots are a tough matchup for quarterbacks. I know it's hard to throw on them, but that being said, I can't take a chance on someone like Brian Hoyer. And I know Josh Gordon's coming back. I know that's going to have a huge impact. But again, same thing. I want to see him play with Josh Gordon before I go out there and pick him up and trust him as a quarterback to get me into the playoffs and win me a championship. Even as good as the Patriots are, I mean, look what Andrew Luck did against them last week. Still put up 24 fantasy points, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, had a pick. But those are types of numbers that Matthew Stafford can put up this week, even in New England. I wouldn't be shocked. The Lions are a pass-first team. As good as Reggie Bush and Joique Bell can be out of the backfield, Theo Riddick now catching passes. But most of those guys are catching passes from Matthew Stafford. So I'm not sitting Matthew Stafford this late in the season.
Yeah, I can't do that either. I think he should go after Crowell, and if he doesn't get him, you know, try to go after some of the other guys that we mentioned. Try to go after Boom Heron.
Because you can't. You're number three in the waiver, which is great, but if you waste that spot on Brian Hoyer and something comes up next week and you're like, damn, I would have been top dog to have my pick, man, you're going to feel real bad about yourself at that point. So if you don't put a bid in for Isaiah Crowell, if you get him, great. Like you said, Boom Heron, another guy that might be intriguing. He's the guy I have targeted as my number one waiver wire pickup this week, actually, just because my waiver's so thin. So
yeah.
Guys like that, running backs, like we said, running back is the thinnest position this year. If you have a chance to get a running back who's going to start or split carries with another guy, I think you got to take a chance on them over a Brian Hoyer.
And I'm telling you, he looked good in the preseason. That sticks out in my mind for some reason. I forget why, but there was a couple of good runs where I just said, wow, this guy's really, he runs hard and he runs well. And then I guess I kind of just forgot about him because Ahmad Bradshaw was playing so damn well.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where in the preseason, everything, again, it's so hard to judge preseason, but like you said, Boom, another guy, Lorenzo Taliaferro was that guy for me. I saw him play in the preseason.
Right,
I love what I saw out of that guy. So same thing with Boom Heron. He's a guy that you didn't see much out of the regular season, but he played well in the preseason, and I think it's worth taking a chance on him at that point.
I love emails like this next one. It's from Craig in Wisconsin. Hey, guys, thanks for all the awesome fantasy advice you provide. I actually went against your recommendation of playing C.J. Anderson over Ryan Matthews last week, and it cost me. I will never doubt you again.
You shouldn't at this point. We know what we're doing, baby. You got to. That's why you tune in. You tune in to get some wins. You tune in to get some knowledge. We're throwing knowledge at you all day. That's what we do.
I was just offered. Craig goes on to say, I was just offered a trade in a 12-team half-point PPR league. He's trading away Nile Davis and receiving Mohamed Sanu. He has Jamal Charles. Now, would you trade away Nile Davis if you have Jamal Charles?
Man, I don't think I can.
No,
Nile Davis,
either.
Jamal Charles, we saw what happened when he went down and how well Nile Davis filled in. And I'm looking at his other wide receivers. You still got Dez Bryant. You got Randall Cobb. You got two guys that are 100% every week plays and are going to put up points for you. Sammy Watkins and Steve Smith as well. So those two guys, they're not Randall Cobb or Dez Bryant as far as production, but Steve Smith had a huge run in the beginning of the season. He's still useful. And same thing with Sammy Watkins. He's been picking up steam as the season rolled on too. So I don't think it's worth it for Mohamed Sanu, especially with A.J. Greenback.
No need for Mo Sanu for our guy in Wisconsin there. Our Prizon Fabrizio writes in,
Fabrizio,
Pierre Garçon has to be the biggest Fugazi of 2014. Therefore, he sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah.
So Fabrizio ready to cut bait on Pierre Garçon. The following are available in his league. Kenny Stills, Kenny Britt, Malcolm Floyd, and Eric Decker. Which wide receiver should you pick up in place of Pierre Garçon?
Well, we just talked about Kenyon Britt and Kenny Stills. We talked about the Kennys a few minutes ago. We like them both as waiver wire pickups. Between these guys, I think Kenny Stills is my first pickup. He's on the best offense. And with Brandon Cooks being down, like we said, he's going to be the number two guy behind Jimmy Graham in that pass game.
You like Kenny Stills over Garcon, though?
Man,
because that's the problem. Yeah, they're great options if you're dealing with, you know, some injuries at wide receiver. You had Brandon Cooks, and you want to pick up Kenny Stills. That makes sense. Maybe you're worried about Emmanuel Sanders not playing this weekend. You want to pick up a guy like Kenny Britt or Malcolm Floyd. That's fine. But if you have Garcon, are you really dumping him to pick up Kenny Stills? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for me to dump him to pick up someone like Kenny Stills. Now, looking through Fabrizio's team, he's got Jordan Reed as a tight end. I think he's a guy you can drop to pick up Kenny Stills being hurt and already having Travis Kelce, a solid tight end, in that situation. So
there you go. Now you're thinking.
I would do something like that. Now, I understand why people are pissed off at Pierre Garcon this year, because after last year being one of only three guys in the history of the NFL to catch five passes every game, especially in a PPR league, which I believe is what Fabrizio is in, a 14-team PPR league,
I think, no less. Yeah.
So, look, last year you got double digits out of Pierre Garcon every week but one in a PPR league. Every single week you got 10-plus points out of him. This year, he's had up and down games. He's had four games of double digits, but the rest 2 points, 4, 4, 8, 4, 1. So
terrible.
If he's not clicking and not doing something, he's doing nothing at all. And I really thought Pierre Garcon was going to have a big week this week against a horrible Tampa Bay pass defense. I don't know. I don't want to drop him, so I'm dropping Jordan Reed, obviously, if you're Fabrizio, but. I can't. If someone dropped Pierre Garcon to pick up somebody else, I can't hate him for it right now. I can't.
Let's rank them real quick. It's Stills 1, Floyd 2, Britt 3, Decker 4.
Yeah, I'm in with that ranking system. I like that.
Okay. By the way, there's some negativity, some controversy going on down there in Washington with RG3, his quarterback, DeSean Jackson. So it's a very messy situation. RG3 brings the drama.
Yeah, you know, when a couple of years ago when the Redskins gave up all those picks for RG3, I just thought, I don't know what you're doing. You need to build a team. The Redskins haven't been a good team consistently for, you know, since the 80s, early 90s. So they needed to build a team, and they gave up a whole hell of a lot to get RG3. And he's not that guy. He's not Andrew Luck. You gave up way too much to get a guy who's not going to be a stud quarterback, a guy who can't lead you to a Super Bowl, I don't think.
Let's be fair here. I mean, as a rookie, he was phenomenal.
He looked good, no doubt about it. But it's hard for me to say this guy looked good as a rookie, because almost everybody can look good as a rookie. You don't know what you're scheming for as a defensive coordinator or as a defensive team. So you're a little bit less likely to know what's going on. But once he got hurt, he's been hurt twice now, two leg injuries. He relies on his legs to extend plays and to get out of the pocket and to run. So if your legs are getting injured and guys know what you can do already, it's just not a good thing for Pierre Garcon. Well, for him either, but for RG3.
Who's that guy on NFL Network? Dan Helly, is that his name?
There's a Dan Helly on there, yeah.
Yeah. I went to a media event last summer, before the season started. It was coming off RG3's rookie year. So maybe it was two summers ago.
Yeah.
And this guy got up on stage. Willie McGinnis was there. Michael Irvin was there. Michael Fabiano was there. Who else was there? Akbar Kabaji Biamila.
Akbar, yeah.
Marshall Faulk was there. I'm forgetting the guy that does. I can't believe I'm forgetting. He's got the hot daughter. Who does all the. I can't believe I'm forgetting.
That narrows it down.
Yeah. She follows me on Twitter. That's the only reason why. Oh, Mike Mayock.
Okay, yeah. Mike Mayock. I love Mike Mayock.
Mike Mayock was there. Brad Nelson was there. So a lot of guys were there.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of, noteworthy,
intelligent,
well-respected
NFL
people.
Guys, yeah.
Right, right, right. This guy, Dan Helly, gets up on stage, and he says that RG3, when it's all said and done, will be spoke about in the same fashion as Michael Jordan is for basketball.
Yeah, man, that's working out real well.
The entire crowd, everyone on stage even kind of, like, gave him this crazy look, like, Michael Jordan, like, maybe Dennis Rodman, but
like Michael Jordan,
not the greatest
Michael
ever.
Jordan.
Like, for him to say that after just 1 year, it totally just discredited anything he was about to say. And now, like, when I watch him on TV, I just can't respect anything he has to say. Because he made that asinine comment. How am I supposed to respect anything, his opinion, or any kind of commentary that he provides on his show? That was just such an outlandish comment that I just have no faith in anything he says anymore.
Yeah, he's the Sam Bowie of the NFL, all right? Let's be honest. He's not Michael Jordan. He's Michael Jordan playing baseball. Maybe. He's damn it, Dan Helly.
Yeah, it was terrible. It
got me fired up now. Now you got me fired up, but I digress.
855-728-7500. Remember, if you call in, if you email in, let us know. Jonas Gray, the Tuesday topic of thought. He had 4 touchdowns in Week 11. Will he finish? He only needs 4.5 more to get past our 8.5 over-under mark. Kevin and I both say under. Anthony says over, but by a slim margin. Let's go to Justin in Boston. He's up next in a 10-team PPR league. Hey, Justin.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man? How you doing? What do you think about Jonas Gray? Is he breaking that 8 touchdown mark this year?
Let me see. That 4 right now. He has 6 matchups, too.
Six games left.
I'm going to say he just gets there.
Just right. Gets there. Okay. Okay, way to cop out, Justin.
Yeah. Who knows? But who knows the way that our Patriots run the ball? So he might just end up with 50 yards this week.
What's on your mind this week, heading into Week 12?
Yeah, I just have a couple of questions. I just lost, of course, Ben Tate and Ahmad Bradshaw.
But that's tough.
I made a little trade since I knew I lost them both. I acquired Rashard Jennings to kind of
Okay.
There you go.
Lessen the blow a little bit. So it's deep at wide receiver, so I just added him. So, yeah, that helped me out. But who would you add? Because I'm going to drop Robert Wood, too, and I'm going to drop, Bradshaw and Tate, too.
Right.
In the meantime, who would you add for my receiver and running back? For running backs available, there are Terrence West, Darren Heron, Devontae Freeman, or Latavius Murray.
Let's rule out Freeman here. We both like Terrence West, and we both like Heron as a deeper sleeper, especially if you had Bradshaw. You know what he was capable of doing, and you had Ben Tate. So why don't you pick up both of them?
Yeah. I can try, yeah.
Terrence West and Heron. And then I know you said you need a wide receiver if you're dropping Robert Woods. Who were you thinking about at that position?
Yeah, some options over here, too. Oh, also, I made a sneaky move on Sunday. I picked up Crowell because I knew that he was starting, so I stashed him, too.
Very sneaky.
And then receivers that are open that I was going to look into are Kenny Stills, Landry, Hogan, Alan Hearns, or Jermaine Kearse.
You know, Chris Hogan's been playing really well for the Buffalo Bills, but I think that has more to do with Sammy Watkins being a little bit banged up. I do like Alan Hearns with our guy Allen Robinson out for the year, but I think it's the first person you said, Kenny Stills. Anthony are on board with the New Orleans Saints playmaker.
Yeah.
Is that all you had for us, Justin?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. Also, I picked up, I don't like having more than one tight end on my team. And last week I just picked up Lena, like on the fly, and I started him. I was just on a whim. It actually worked out for me. And my other ones are Ertz and Reed. Would you drop any of those and keep Lena or try to trade Fleener for
you can
like
drop
next
keep Fleener. He's the most consistent of the tight ends that you have, especially with Dwayne Allen out. Drop Jordan Reed.
Okay, sounds good. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Justin. Best
of luck
to you.
Good luck, man.
And you know what's great about Justin's calls are he's very nonchalant about, like, these amazing moves that he makes. He's like, I saw Isaiah Crowell, you know, he was starting, so I decided to pick him up. I added Kobe Fleener this weekend. I just happened to start him. Oh, Dwayne Allen went out and Fleener had his best game. Like, he's very modest about, like, these great moves that he makes.
Andrew Luck was out there. I figured I'll just give him a shot this
year. Yeah,
why not? Now, I love it, but you know what? He made a great move picking up Rashard Jennings. That's gonna bolster his running backs. And Isaiah Crowell, he's got another starter for Ben Tate, so I don't think he's really, in as bad of a situation as he said he was in the beginning of the call. But Dan Heron, that guy, man, I think he's going to be a huge pickup this late in the season. I like him a lot.
855-728-7500. We got another caller on the line. Matt is in Columbia in a 12-team half-point PPR league. Hey, Matt.
Matt, what's going on, man?
I got a waiver wire question for you. Green didn't get any touchdowns. I ended up losing because I had Romo on the bye, and I had to pick up for the reason didn't do very much for me. I'm looking at the waiver wire. Right now I have Green, I've got Hill, I've got Forte, and I picked up Sim, but I'm debating on, picking up Jonas Gray. Do you think I should pick up Gray and dump Sim for a move this week?
Matt, your telephone's terrible. Are you asking if you should pick up Rainey or Jonas Gray, deciding between the two?
Should I pick up Gray first?
Right, and then who would you be dropping?
Dropping Sims.
Oh, Sims. I'm sorry.
Trust Sims.
I mean, Anthony, we like the Patriots offense better than the Bucs offense.
Hell yeah, we do. I would definitely do that. I think Jonas Gray should, like I said, should be the first name off of waiver wire if it's there. I know he's not going to do what he did, like we've been saying, but he's got the most potential. He's on one of the better offenses in the league. He's on an offense where if he doesn't do anything stupid on himself, fumble the ball, anything like that, he's going to be trusted by Bill Belichick, and he's going to get a majority of the carries going forward, I think. So I would definitely pick up Jonas Gray and drop Charles Sims at this point.
Sound good, Matt?
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, good luck, bro.
All right, we got plenty of more emails to get to, plenty of waiver wire moves to dissect and discuss, but we do have to take a quick break, final break of the show, and then we'll come back with the final segment of the show as we're broadcasting live on Patriots.com radio. About a half hour left for your Week 12 waiver wire questions, and then by Thursday's show, we're going full effect into start 'em or sit 'em. So if you have a waiver wire question, now is the time to get it in, but we do have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Fantasy Football Champs presented by DraftKings right here on Patriots.com radio.
Hey, that.
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, Pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time, 2% cash back on groceries, and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Want to be a Patriots season ticket holder? Join the Patriots season ticket holder waitlist and get in the game. Be first in line to purchase Patriots season tickets as they become available and receive exclusive access to the Patriots ticket exchange and other amenities such as access to playoff tickets, Gillette Stadium concert pre-sales, and much more. Get on the list. Get in the game. Visit patriots.com/the list to join today.
The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop has everything you need to show your pride on game day and every day. Choose from the widest selection of hats, tees, authentic jerseys, and much more, including Pro Shop exclusives and sideline gear from Adidas, Nike, and New Era. The Pro Shop is located next to Gillette Stadium and is open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots and Revolution Pro Shop, your team, your store.
Bill Enright and Anthony Grace want to help you dominate your fantasy football league. Call in with your questions at 855-PATS-500 or email the champs at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to Bill and Anthony.
All right, welcome back, fantasy football champs. It is week 12 in the NFL. Only six more games for the regular season. If you're playing in a fantasy league, only five more games until we get to week 16. That's for the most part, championship. It's kind of crazy. This season just flew by so fast. You know, Anthony, it's always so funny. We start the show in August. It's by the time we end the show, we do it live, 4 to 6 Eastern every day. So by the time we end the show live in August, it's still light out for another 2 hours. It's still wonderful. 70 degrees, 75 degrees. We're in mid-November. It's dark by the time we start the show. And then by the time we get off, it's like pitch black. It's freezing cold outside. Just it's amazing the way the change of weather, the change of daylight flies by with the NFL season every year. It's always mind-boggling to me.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, it is so depressing when you look outside and you set up and we get our show going, and it's like, all right, well, you know, it's a nice sunset, and then like, after the first time you look outside and it's like, is it midnight? What the hell? It's so depressing. And I mean, around where we're at up here in the Northeast, these past couple of days have been so unbelievably frigid cold. It is unreal.
All right, let's jump back into the emails from everyone that's chiming in. Webradio@patriots.com. So we'll be taking your phone calls throughout the show. 855-728-7500. Who did we leave off?
I got the next one up is from our buddy Neil.
Okay, what do you got?
All right, so Neil says, hey, guys, clinched a playoff spot this week, so starting to look ahead at the playoffs and possibly adding some depth for the final push. So yeah, he throws us his setup here, his lineup and his bench. So he's basically asking, he's got Bobby Rainey and Brandon Oliver. Says, I don't see Rainey or Oliver having much value left the rest of the way. Would you think about dropping them to add depth at tight end or defense, possibly Colby Fleener, who's on waivers, or a defense like Green Bay or San Fran just as a protection in the playoffs? He's got Arizona and Jimmy Graham in those two positions right now.
Ooh.
So, honestly, I'm okay dropping Rainey or Oliver or both. Colby Fleener's not a bad pickup as a tight end to have on your bench just in case something goes wrong with Jimmy Graham down the stretch. I would drop Oliver over Rainey. I think Rainey might have a little more value, not much, but like I said, either one of these guys, Rainey or Oliver, if you're in a situation near the end of the year or in the playoffs where you have to play one of them, you're pretty screwed to begin with, so it's going to be tough. But I like having someone like a Colby Fleener as a backup tight end to a Jimmy Graham just in case something would go wrong.
Rainey over Oliver? Is that what you just said?
I would keep Bobby Rainey over Brandon Oliver.
Oh, why?
I think it's a toss-up. I mean, Brandon Oliver had those few good games when he first came in, but outside of that, not doing much. I know Ryan Matthews is a little bit banged up now, but if he can play, he's going to be the guy. Again, I'm not using either one, but...
It seems like every year the Chargers are just dominant in December.
Yeah.
Going back to when they were with North Turner, they're always good in December. Last year they won, they won like five straight, including a game over the Broncos.
Yeah, that was their second meeting, I believe, last season where they beat the Broncos, and that, I think that kind of propelled them into the playoffs at that point.
Yeah, so I don't know, man. I would hold on to Brandon Oliver. I just have zero faith in any of the Bucs players other than Mike Evans. Even Vincent Jackson is dead to me.
Yeah, oh, man. With the emergence of Mike Evans, Vincent Jackson, he has to be dead for the most part, I guess, doesn't he? Mike Evans is the guy there, hands down, no doubt about it. Mike Evans is that first look in that offense from here on out. So, Vincent Jackson, yeah, he's dead in the world of fantasy virtually right now.
All right, next email is from Trevor. Very simple. Hang on to Hillman into the playoffs. I have C.J. Anderson. Didn't even bother writing anything in the email. That's just all in the subject line. Yeah.
Trevor? Prop points to Trevor. We love short emails. This is the shortest email because there's not even an email right now. So. Yeah.
Just the subject.
You know what? I'm okay holding on to Ronnie Hillman if you got the spot for him. I know C.J. Anderson's going to get the carries. Hillman's out for, at least another week. But when he comes back, same thing. They're probably splitting carries. Monty Ball is pretty much done the rest of the way. So yep. If you got the spot to hang on to him and you're not hurting anywhere else, hang on to him.
Next email is from our boy Ike in Charlotte. He says, no way, Jonas Gray. Hey, champs. I'm going no way on Jonas Gray simply because Coach Belichick and fantasy running backs are rarely consistent. So he's taking the under on that 8.5 touchdowns for Gray. Remember, he already has four of them, six games left. And our friend Ike in Charlotte is saying no way for Jonas Gray.
You know what? I'm keeping a little tally, Bill. For all the people who chimed in on this, I'm keeping a little tally on the side.
Oh, that's good.
Just to see, what happens at the end of the year. So something a little fun for everybody out there.
Nice. I like that. On to Ike's question. Do you think Josh Gordon will have 8.5 touchdowns the rest of the year? Now, here's a guy that hasn't played a down this season, has zero. So we were giving Jonas Gray 8.5, which was only 4.5 more in six games. Ike wants to know if we're giving Josh Gordon 8.5 touchdowns, and he's starting from zero.
I think 8.5 is a high number for Josh Gordon for six games he has to play. You put that number at like five, I could see him doing 5 to 6. I think 8 is a lot, but with the caliber of player Josh Gordon is, with the talent this guy has, I would not be shocked. I mean, came back last year, finished as the best wide receiver in fantasy football, and he missed two games. So nothing he would do this year would shock me.
All right, next question from Ike is, should he drop Jordan Reed for Colby Fleener, Mercedes Lewis, Charles Clay, or Jacob Tamey?
If we know Fleener's playing as the number one tight end in Indy for the rest of the way, I would go Fleener, Clay, Lewis, and Tamey in that order.
Okay.
But,
Nice. Yeah,
dropping Jordan Reed is definitely a good idea.
And finally from Ike is a question about Phillip Rivers. Are you concerned after seeing, I guess, him a little bit banged up on Sunday, kind of limping around the field, are you concerned about Phillip Rivers in this Chargers offense? They've been kind of disappointing the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, they have been disappointing the last couple of weeks. I'm not super worried about him. Like we said, he's a tough guy. He's going to gut it out. He's going to play. They're only a game out of first place in that division, so another division that's going to come down to the wire with three out of four teams outside of Oakland with a good shot to make the playoffs. But Ike makes a little note here that he picked up Romo last week, which I love because I think Tony Romo is going to lead a lot of people to the championship promised land. He's got the easiest schedule like we went over last week as far as quarterbacks go. So I love me some Tony Romo the rest of the way.
Next email is from our boy Higgins in Seattle. Hey, guys.
Higgins.
You probably answered this, but what to do with Adrian Peterson? You drop him.
Yeah.
Unless you're in a dynasty or a keeper league, there's no point in holding on to Adrian Peterson this year. He's not playing, banned for the year.
No. Out. Done.
Two questions from Higgins in Seattle. Standard league waiver claims Jonas Gray or Trey Mason?
Jonas Gray.
Drop Big Ben for Tampa's QB. Ew.
If you need a quarterback this week because Big Ben's on the bye and you don't have another option, I guess you can do it, but you can't rely on a Tampa Bay quarterback the rest of the way. If you got another quarterback and he's your backup, I still wouldn't do it, but if you need a quarterback this week, you know, got to do what you got to do.
Rick in Houston's in a 12-team PPR league. He's our next caller for Patriots.com radio. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how's it going?
What's going on, man?
Well, I started Kyle Rudolph last week and gave me a donut. I was wondering, do you think I should pick up another tight end until he actually starts playing more down?
What kind of options do you have out there on the waiver as far as other tight ends?
The waiver I've got here, Lewis, Tammy, and Chandler.
Yeah, that is a bare bones type waiver pickup. I think Mercedes Lewis is not a bad pickup if you're looking to add a second tight end. He's going to be the kind of guy, like we said, without Allen Robinson playing the rest of the way, Cecil Shorts is going to get a lot of targets. But I think Mercedes Lewis is too. He's the kind of guy that throws up touchdowns, which is obviously a positive from your tight end. I think Kyle Rudolph is going to be okay. He's going to get his touches. He's going to, but you know, first week back off of injury, you don't know what to expect out of him. I'd still hold on to Rudolph, but out of those three guys, I think Mercedes Lewis is your best pickup off your waiver wire for a tight end.
Hey, I'm thinking about dropping Theo Riddick to get him. What do you think about that?
Do you have Reggie Bush?
No, I've got Theo. I don't have Bush.
Then no, I don't think you need Theo Riddick.
Yeah, definitely I'm okay with dropping Theo Riddick.
Yeah, it's either Theo Riddick or Jerick McKinnon, but I think McKinnon's going to play now. Adrian's out, so.
Yeah, no Adrian Peterson. You have a lot more value with Jerick McKinnon sitting there. So, yeah, drop Theo, pick up Thad Lewis. Pick up Mercedes Lewis, and you have to work it like that, and we'll see what goes on the rest of this week, and we can give you a better idea of who to start in your tight end spot on Thursday.
Sounds good, guys. Have a good night.
All right, good luck, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. You know, Rick brings up an interesting point, and I think it happened a couple weeks ago on this show. Everyone started emailing in, calling in out of nowhere about Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
Wasn't it on the show? And I kind of was like, what is going on with this Kyle Rudolph discussion? I didn't understand it. It didn't really excite me that much. He was a good option for a position that's been very, very inconsistent this year.
Yeah.
But I think last week we told people, you don't go out and rush to start Kyle Rudolph. Let's wait a week before we see him in action. And he didn't even get a single target.
Yeah, that was tough to watch. I totally was on the same page as you, waiting for him. I thought he'd get a couple targets, a couple catches, some yards, you know, just getting some work under his belt. But it was hard to watch him not do anything at all. So I drafted Kyle Rudolph and Zach Ertz in my league to start the season. So my tight end position was just anyway. But I think Kyle Rudolph is going to be okay. He's going to get some touches the rest of the way. But again, unless he gets hot these next 2 weeks, I don't think he's a guy you can hope to get you a championship unless the rest of your team is just super stacked and you only need a couple points out of a tight end.
All right, the next email is the FF Egghead, who's always very active with us on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to know if you would – he's basically asking if you can drop Adrian Peterson. Yes, it's safe to drop Adrian Peterson. Even if the NFL makes an appeal, I don't think he's going to be eligible to be reinstated until next April.
Yeah, he's not coming back this year. They could appeal, they could do whatever they want, but AP's not playing this year. And again, it's the same situation. Let's just say, for the hell of it, Adrian Peterson gets reinstated for Week 16. Are you really going to chance him playing in your championship week when you've had other guys getting you to the promised lands? I just can't see it happening. So AP is droppable in every format, every league, other than a keeper league.
Would you drop Alfred Blue, who just had a monster game over 150 rushing yards, for Isaiah Crowell?
Alfred Blue, man. I got to hold on to him. I don't trust the health of Arian Foster. He's never proved a guy that could be healthy, especially in the last 3 years. So you got AP to drop. I drop AP and try to grab Crowell and go from there.
How about Droik Bell?
I'm okay dropping. Yeah, I guess I'm okay dropping Blue at that point. Droik is the starter. Reggie Bush is in and out. Don't know what you're getting from him. So I think the Lions have their most faith in Droik Bell as far as the running back situation goes.
The Houston Texans play the Cincinnati Bengals, Tennessee Titans, Jacksonville Jaguars. So I think you're right about holding on to Alfred Blue.
He's got three nice matchups in a row right there. So like I said, all it takes is Arian Foster to tweak his hamstring or groin or whatever it was, anything. He's had a slew of injuries the last couple of years, back, hands, arms, legs, feet. It does not matter. He's a mess as far as that goes. So I like Alfred Blue, and I think if you don't have to give him up, because, again, if he's your fourth or fifth running back on your team and normally you're not using him, you're not using the guy you're picking up for him either. So I feel more solid with that schedule down the stretch than I do with a lot of other things.
James A. is the next emailer. He says, hey, guys, should I upgrade any of my spots? This is my last week to trade. You know, we do a waiver trade bait and pray article on FF Champs every week, and I think either this week or next week might be the last week of that article, because trade deadlines are pretty much either this week or next week.
Yeah. After week 13, after that Thanksgiving game, I think most trade lines, like I said, trade deadlines are done. I know my league, we do it the Wednesday before. So
yeah,
going into the playoffs, there's no more trading. So this is the week to get your trade questions in.
So James has Tony Romo and Big Ben. He's okay there.
Like that.
He's got Eddie Lacy, Jeremy Hill, Gio Bernard, Jerick McKinnon at running back. I guess he'll have a little bit of a problem once Gio comes back, right? He'll be looking for a running back too, because Hill and Gio, instead of Hill just getting 150 yards, maybe they'll get 75 each.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those things. Once Gio does come back, Jeremy Hill's going to get his touches. They're not going to stop giving him the ball. He looks too good to not be touching the ball, and the fact that Gio's been out the last three games, obviously he can't shoulder a whole load himself for a season, so Jeremy Hill is going to get touches no matter what happens with Gio the rest of the way.
Our next email is from Nate. Out in Kansas City. What up, fellas? I finally won all three of my games in the same week since week three. He's looking for a tight end this week. Right now he's got Bobby Rainey, Monte Ball, and Ronnie Hillman all cuttable, and he's worried about Julius Thomas starting.
Yeah.
He needs to pick up a tight end and running back off waivers in order to stay relevant. He has Alfred Blue, Jonas Gray, Isaiah Crowell, Niall Davis all on waivers. So let's start off by saying, are you okay with him dropping Monte Ball and Bobby Rainey?
Definitely.
Okay, so that leaves that opens up two spots on his team. He needs to go after one running back and one tight end. Let's start with the running back. Alfred Blue, Jonas Gray, Crowell, or Niall Davis. We don't know if he has Jamaal Charles or not.
We don't. This is tough. I guess, looking at it today, I would go Gray, Crowell, Blue, Davis. Now, if I know Arian Foster's not going to play again, I think I shift Blue into that number one spot. Well, number two spot behind Gray. I think Gray's the number one pickup, and Blue, Crowell, like I said, depending on what happens in that Houston situation.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And then for his tight ends, Kobe Fleener, Travis Kelce, Delanie Walker, Zach Ertz.
I would basically, I like the order. Like I said, if Fleener's the number one in Indianapolis, I like him. If not, I would go Kelce. Basically, those guys are my 1-2, and I would put Ertz over Delanie Walker as my number 3.
Oh, okay. Our friend, who is this? This is Nate, also says CJ Anderson is also on the waiver wire. He has to be the number 1 pickup.
Has to be, yes.
Yeah. One of our writers at FFChamps.com and a longtime member, Dan Perry, a.k.a. Perry 04 on DraftKings, had Jonas Gray this last week, and he also suggested using him in one of his articles.
All right. Dan Perry. He's got the inside track. I love it.
He won like, I don't know if he wants me to tell it on air, but he won a couple $1,000s this weekend.
Mm. Damn. Congrats,
he almost
Dan.
Had 10,000, but then Le'Veon Bell had that monster game, and like he lost by like I think like a tenth or fourth of a point.
Yeah, that's man, that is hard to swallow.
But anyway, he did say that him and Nick Morgan, who also come on the show,
yeah.
Both suggested Jonas Gray last week. So once again, I mean, we don't just do waiver wire and rankings. We do stuff for DraftKings, and we do a great job with our strategy and advice.
We do stuff for everything. Daily fantasy, regular fantasy, yep. PPR, dynasty. It doesn't matter. Whatever kind of league you play in, we got something for you out there. It's all that matters.
Brooks is the next emailer. Hey, guys, I'm in a non-PPR tied for first with a 10-1 record facing the other 10-1 team this week. Uh-oh, showdown.
Mm.
Have some players on a bye, including Greg Olsen. Backup tight end is Zach Ertz. Should you pick up Owen Daniels, Colby Fleener, or Charles Clay instead of rolling with Ertz?
If Fleener's going to be the guy in Indy,
yeah.
I'm going Colby Fleener, and then I'll go Charles Clay. I would play Zach Ertz over Owen Daniels this week just because Daniels is in New Orleans, and those Saints are very good against the tight end.
Next waiver wire question is from Will. Hey, guys, which running back should I drop? 10-team non-PPR league, Andre Williams or Brandon Oliver?
Man. I think...
Doesn't matter who he's going to pick up. Isaiah Crowell, Jonas Gray, Trey Mason, Alfred Blue. All solid guys to pick up.
Yeah.
Non-PPR league.
Non-PPR. See, you know what? I'm okay. Personally, I would drop both these guys and try to get two of the three out of Crowell, Gray, and Blue. I would try to grab two of those three guys and drop both of them. Rashad Jennings, I was skeptical, like I said, going in this week, but he got almost every single snap on the field after Coughlin said he was going to be limited. So Andre Williams' value definitely decreases. Oliver's value has decreased with Matthews back. Drop them both. Try to grab two out of the three of Crowell, Jonas Gray, and Alfred Blue.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Ant. I would much rather him hold on to any of these waiver wire options instead of Andre Williams or Brandon Oliver.
Yeah, a lot more upside, and most of these guys seem to have a little bit softer schedules than these two guys on your roster now.
Mark has a trade question. His team, Ice Up Suns, is in first place, standard league, playoff spot already clinched. Does he trade away Le'Veon Bell for Matt Forte? Standard league here, non-PPR. That's where Forte makes his bread and butter.
Yeah, you can't. I know. Sometimes I don't understand why you want to flip-flop two studs who are basically doing the same thing. I mean, maybe it's preference, maybe not, but in a standard league, yeah. Bell catches a lot of passes out of the backfield, too, don't get me wrong, but that's where Forte thrives, catching out of the backfield. They'll give him the ball, he'll rush the ball, he'll put up yards, but he makes his money in catching passes out of the backfield. So you got to hang on to Le'Veon Bell in a standard league.
Yeah, I think after that performance last night with LeGarrette Blount getting cut, it just further shows that the Steelers are super confident in that second year back. He runs. I'll tell you what. If you let him pass you by, his ADP was the middle of the third round. If you let him pass you by in the third round, which is where he was going, he should have been a top 10 pick this year, but he wasn't. His ADP was, you know, mid third round. If you let him pass you by because of that pot scandal with LeGarrette Blount, boy, was that one of the biggest errors of the draft this year.
I don't know if I should tell this story. So I let Le'Veon Bell go by me this year in the third round of my draft.
Zach Stacy?
Only because I picked Antonio Brown the round before, and I know how we say don't stack, you know, studs from the same team. So PPR league, I didn't. There wasn't a lot of running back options. Le'Veon Bell obviously was the best, but
Doug Martin. God,
yeah, Doug Martin.
Yeah,
what an a-hole he's been. But
that's what happens when you have a season on the brink of starting and you don't know what you don't know that Doug Martin, you think a new coaching staff comes in.
Yep.
He had a monster season as a rookie. Listen, let's not forget that heading into his second year, he was the consensus, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Number two pick in the draft.
Yeah, no questions
asked.
It was
Adrian Peterson, Doug Martin, Jamal Charles.
Yeah, and I really thought Lovie Smith was going to use him and turn him into a little mini Matt Forte down there. You saw the potential in that rookie season. So, you know, when it happened, I didn't feel bad. But looking back at it, it's like if I had Le'Veon Bell on my team over Doug Martin, it's a runaway. It's over. I'm done. I win. So,
yep.
You know, I feel a little bad. But like you said, at the time, you can't kill yourself over that because two studs from the same team, we didn't know what kind of work the Steelers' offense would be putting in and points they've been putting up these last couple of weeks. But,
of course,
you know, hindsight's 20/20.
All right, so we ran through all of the emails.
Got them all.
Did our waiver wire report, did our injury recap report. If you missed any of that, you can check it out on ffchamps.com. Remember, you get a free membership. You go to ffchamps.com/million. We'll try to have the two Patriot fans, the brothers that won $1 million playing fantasy football over at DraftKings. We'll try to have them on our Thursday show. We'll go through the start and sit. We'll go through the action on the Best Buy and Overpriced. I know Kevin's a little busy right now, but Anthony, why don't you give us an update of the standings? Because I think Kevin might have caught up to me
Kevin.
On the primetime pick'em.
Kevin did catch up to you in
leading?
Our primetime pick'em.
Is he beating me?
No, you guys are both tied at the top at 17-7 each. And I am dragging up the rear at 14-10. So I really thought the Colts were going to make a little bit more of a game of it. You know, it was disappointing. We saw a couple big games, Packers-Eagles, Colts-Patriots, and the Lions and Cardinals. Three games with teams that were all looking to definitely make the playoffs, if not try to get a bye week out of it. So and most of those games were Packers just decimated the Eagles. That wasn't a game. Same thing with the Patriots, Colts, and even though it was an 8-point game in Arizona with the Lions, that game wasn't really that close either. So tough to watch.
The Thursday night game is where Kevin made up on me, I think, because I took the Bills, which was foolish.
You did.
And Kevin took the Dolphins.
Yep.
Who'd you take in that game?
I went Miami as well in that game.
All right, so you guys won in that one. Sunday night, Kevin and I took the Pats. You took the Colts.
Colts, and then we went swept the Steelers across the board for last night's game.
Now, the Steelers almost lost last night.
Man, that was crazy. You know, Zach Mettenberger, not a great quarterback, but you know he looked okay last night. Did not look bad. That a couple defensive breakdowns by the Steelers. That 80-yard bomb to Nate Washington late in the first half gave him a little bit of life. But when he threw that first pass, his first pass, it was a pick six to Pittsburgh. I was like, oh, this is going to be horrible for Tennessee. And they kept it interesting, which, you know, we made fun of the game a little bit going into it. Oh, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, who cares? Who's going to watch that? Ended up being the best primetime game this weekend.
By the way, if that game was the upset, if the Titans pulled out the upset, there would have only been 12 people, me, one of which, of the 12 in my survivor pool.
Mm.
So I was really rooting for the Titans last night.
You got to. Now it's getting down to the wire. Do you still only make one pick per week, or are you in one where they make you pick two if it gets down to the nitty-gritty?
Well, Anthony, I had two picks heading into this week. I lost one with the Redskins.
Mm.
And starting in week 13, I will have to make two picks.
Okay.
And I need both of those picks to be right. Now, this week is hell for me. I don't know who I'm going to pick this week. I don't have a lot of good options. It's between the Falcons, the Texans, the Saints, the Rams. I'm considering the Rams on the road in San Diego with Phillip Rivers a little bit banged up. I don't know who I'm going to pick this week. It's going to be tough.
That's tough. Now, the Saints, again, not the same team that we've been seeing, but they've never lost three in a row at home under Sean Payton and Drew Brees. So they just lost two in a row at home these last 2 weeks. I think they're going to pull it out against Baltimore, but you
Baltimore
never know.
Coming off a bye Monday night. I don't know.
Sorry, I missed the steal. What were the standings? I'm sorry, I missed them.
We're tied.
Kevin, my friend. Yes, you tied it. Now, Kevin's had three perfect weeks so far since we started doing this.
Wow.
Three and oh weeks. Yeah. So, Kevin's looking good.
Kevin can be there, obviously, to offer insight.
You're damn right he can. So,
I swear that Kevin has that Brady clip
locked and loaded
as like his ringtone.
I think it should be his ringtone if it's not.
Kevin could be there for...
You know, Kevin's a good football player. He's smart. He's tough. He's got good skills.
Yeah.
He does.
I know how to pick him, right, Bill?
Exactly. You sure do, dude. Very impressive.
But yeah, no, so we're both And what's Ant? How far is Ant behind us?
I'm three games behind you guys. Ooh, you guys are 17. Far. I got 14.
Yeah, but at the same time, like it would take a perfect week from Ant and two duds from us.
Well, we're going to change it up a little bit.
Okay.
Because for Thanksgiving, we're going to do all three of the Thanksgiving games.
There we go.
And then is there a Monday night game?
Yeah, there probably is. We'll have a bunch of games.
So there'll be five games that week.
I like
it. Five pack.
Spice it up.
Yeah, we'll spice it up a little bit.
I like that.
So we're going to have to do that on a Tuesday.
I like where your head's at.
So that's going to be interesting. That's going to be the week that separates us.
I was throwing things at the TV last night because I got the Steelers early in the week at 5.5. Mm-hmm. And I was screaming at the TV when the Titans wasted that timeout on that stupid challenge on Le'Veon Bell's incomplete pass on that last drive. It wasn't even close to being a fumble, but they still challenged it. If they had saved that timeout, they would have had one inside the two-minute warning and at least forced the Steelers to kick a field goal, which would have been 6 points and would have covered. I was ready to put my fist through the television and just grab Ken Whisenhunt by the neck and wring his neck. I mean, I get it. Like, your team stinks. You might be out of a job soon. You've got no quarterback, no future. Tennessee's a really crappy place to live, and it's miserable. And I know you want out. But to waste the challenge on that was just inexcusable to me. What a dope. That's all I got for you, Bill. You can tell I'm angry.
Hey, you know what? I like it when you go on rants because when I go on rants, I think everyone just is like, "Wow, this guy's a psycho." But when other people do it a little bit,
well, I'm every bit.
Yours are a lot more calmer than mine.
Yeah, I'm every bit as psycho as you, Bill. No doubt about it.
It makes me feel.
That's why we get along so well. Two peas in a pod.
I agree.
Two bald guys that are absolutely just whacked in the head.
And then Anthony's there to calm us down a little bit.
Yeah, Anthony's like, "Hey, man, just chill. Just chill."
That's what I gotta do, man. I just gotta keep it. You know, it's all gonna work itself out.
He's sitting there in his home studio playing with his dogs while he's doing the show.
It's gonna be all right, man. Life is great. Sucks sometimes, but overall, we'll be all right. A little bit of news though, Bill. I just saw. The Saints just put Brandon Cooks on season-ending IR.
Ooh.
Wow, forget about the 2 to 3 weeks. He is out for the year. Again, if we told you to pick up Kenny Stills, that makes him even more appealing now.
When news breaks, we break it.
Damn.
That's a good one.
Damn right.
If we told you to pick up Kenny Stills, that's even more so now with Brandon Cooks going on IR.
There we go. A little bit of news. You got to listen to the whole show because you never know what could happen.
And also, the Colts don't expect Dwayne Allen to play this week, so that's even better news if we told you to pick up Colby Fleener.
I miss your report on – I know you did the Monty Ball and the Manny – what's wrong with Julius Thomas?
He's day-to-day with an ankle injury.
Okay, so it's not terrible.
It's not terrible, but I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't play this week.
Interesting.
We'll see.
Thanks,
Bill.
We'll
Great job today by Kevin Collins. I want to thank all of the emailers, all of the callers. Anthony, any closing thoughts in addition to that breaking news you just gave us?
Nah, man, I think I'm good to go. We'll get ready for Thursday and we'll kill it again.
Another great show. I want to thank everyone for listening. Hit us up on Twitter at FFChamps, at the PPR Monster, at Pats_Kev, at Bill Enright. A lot of ways to get in touch with us. We'll be live, Patriots.com Radio, Thursday, 4 to 6. Good luck on the waiver wire. We'll talk to you on Thursday.
Oh, no, you're going to ask him because he didn't finish the game. Ice up, son. Ice up.
Thanks for listening to FF Champs on Patriots.com Radio. Bill and Anthony are back live every Tuesday and Thursday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time to answer all of your fantasy questions. Log on anytime to Patriots.com to download our latest FF Champs podcast, available after every show. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of Fantasy Football Champs.